Okay, so it's 1:30. We're going to get started. Welcome everybody to today's session, which is really dealing with modeling and simulating mass and energy transport across the air-land interface. And we have 8 talks total. There's four, and then there's a break, 15-minute break, and then there's 4 at the end, and then there's a poster session, the soil physics and hydrology poster session, which then will be going on around 4 o'clock. First question is Andrew Trout's here? Okay, he's my co-presider. I guess he's not here. So we'll start. And no, we're right on it. Yeah. Your watch is off. It may do heart rate, but it doesn't do time. Is it 35? Okay, so anyway, I mean, I could tell jokes. I mean, if you guys want to hear jokes, I mean, it is election, right? I mean, does anybody have an election day joke? Yurka? I mean, it could be depressing. It could be important. So anyway, we'll go ahead and we'll get started because people are here. And our first talk is with Jurka Siminek, and he's going to be giving us an update on the Hydrus model.
Okay. He's joking about my heart rate because this morning I got the ASA fellow, and just before I was supposed to go to the podium, my heart rate went from 60 to 120. So I mean, you guys have to be very easy on me. Yeah. So no tough questions. 95 already. Okay, I just got this watch last weekend. Okay, well, so first of all, I would like to acknowledge my co-author. So Keith Bristow is here, and he will be speaking after me. And I spent with him last year about 1 month in Australia. And so we were working on some of these topics which are of interest to the people in Australia. And then Hirotaka Saito is a professor at Tokyo University of Agriculture and Technology. And with him, we have been working on this couple of movement of water vapor energy for over a decade. Page down, right? Yeah. So this is the outline of my presentation. So first of all, I will give the governing equations describing the coupled movement of water, vapor, and energy in the subsurface. Then I will briefly discuss soil-atmosphere interaction and the soil-atmosphere interface and how we implemented it into the Hydrus models. And then I will talk also briefly about how we take into account the effects of slope, inclination, aspect, azimuth, and plant shading on radiation and on the energy balance equation and on predictions of surface and soil temperatures. Okay, so let me start with the Ricci's equation. So that describes isothermal Darcy flow in a variable saturated isotropic rigid porous medium. And this equation considers only two forces accounting which drive the flow, which would be capillarity and gravity. And it neglects all the additional driving forces for water flow in the subsurface. So this equation is highly nonlinear, as we all know, and that's why we solve it numerically. However, water flow in the subsurface does not occur only in liquid phase, but also occur in the vapor phase, and that's why we need to also formulate equation for the water vapor flow. Additionally, the flow is not driven only by capillarity and gravity, but also by the temperature gradients, and thus we need to include these components of water flow. So this slide gives the definition of the water fluxes as well as the water vapor fluxes, and both of its isothermal components and thermal components. And thermal components I usually have on these slides in red. You can also see that each of these fluxes has its corresponding hydraulic conductivity. And so here I give definition of all of these conductivities, both isothermals and thermal, and both liquid and vapor. So you can see here the famous Van Genugten-Moale model, which can be used to describe isothermal hydraulic conductivity, thermal hydraulic conductivity, then Additionally, take into account also the temperature dependence of the surface tension, and both isothermal and thermal vapor hydraulic conductivity, they depend mainly on the vapor diffusion, diffusivity, and relative humidity. So when we use all these definitions of these different fluxes, so we get the modified Richards equation, which accounts for both liquid flow and vapor flow, and both for isothermal and thermal fluxes. And so this is the final equation which we need to solve if we want to solve both water flow and vapor fluxes. This is the equation which we traditionally use to describe heat transport in the subsurface, and that's the equation which is also in Hydra's model and other models. So this equation accounts for the change in energy storage in the soil, and then the two thermal fluxes, one is conduction and one is convection with flowing water. Here the lambda is apparent thermal conductivity, and C is the volumetric heat capacity, which is usually defined as the sum of heat capacities of individual components. However, this equation also neglects several important processes which may be important. And so this slide summarizes all the thermal fluxes which should be considered when simulating heat transport in the subsurface, which is not fully saturated with the water, and when we have the vapor phase present. And so these fluxes are conduction, convection with flowing water, and then two thermal fluxes which are associated with the vapor flow. One is the heat transferred by convection, and the other one is latent heat transported by water vapor. So if we combine this equation with the energy balance equation, so we get this governing equation. The terms on the left now account for the changes in storage of sensible and latent heat. And the terms on the right side are mostly thermal fluxes, so again, conduction, convection. These terms account for the energy removed with the root water uptake. And finally, we have two vapor fluxes. And again, the terms in red are all associated with vapor fluxes. So now the temperature affects the water flow, and the water content and water fluxes affects the heat transport. And because of that, these two processes are coupled, and these equations have to be solved simultaneously. And so we are solving these two equations simultaneously. Here they are written in 1D, only with the z-coordinate, but you can easily write them in 2D, 3D. So we are solving them with Hydra's models, which can be used to simulate flow, solute transport, heat transport, many other processes, 1, 2, and 3 dimensional soils. The code, as you know, exists in two versions. So it's a public domain version, Hydra's 1D, which is for 1D, and then the commercial version of that, which is 2D, which can solve these processes in two-dimensional, three-dimensional regions of any virtual shapes. This slide, which we use to demonstrate the capabilities of Hydra's to simulate the coupled movement of water vapor, and it was inspired by the experimental work of Bob Horton and Nassar. So in this example, we have a 10-centimeter column, which is closed on both ends, so there is no exchange of mass. And then we impose the temperature gradient across this sample. And since the temperature is increasing from the top of the sample to the bottom, so that causes vapor flow from the warmer end to the colder end. Water evaporates at this colder end and condensate at the colder end. And that results in increased water contents and decreased water contents here. So as a result of this gradient, there is a liquid flow downwards. And this liquid flow gradually increases, and eventually it balances the vapor flow upwards, so eventually we get steady state cycle inside of the system. And since water evaporates here, then the solute will get more concentrated here, and since water condensate here, so you get this dilution here. And so you create a large gradient, which will result in the diffusion in the opposite direction, and eventually you should probably reach some steady state also. So this example we simply use to demonstrate that both Hydrus 1D and Hydrus 2D and 3D can solve these coupled systems. We have also implemented in Hydrus code the surface energy balance, which describes the exchange energy at the salt-atmosphere interface. So that balances the incoming radiation with the outgoing fluxes, latent heat, sensible heat, subsurface heat. And all these fluxes can be described by various meteorological models, and there are many different types of these models. So, and there are many different types of approximations also, which we have some of them implemented. So these are simple models which, for example, describes continuous changes of temperature, relative humidity, etc. On this slide, I showed some calculation with the model. So this slide shows various radiation and heat fluxes, which were measured, at least radiation, and calculated for the experimental site at the University of California, experimental station in Riverside. And using the mass balance equation and evaluating all these fluxes, then we can calculate surface temperatures as well as temperatures at different depths. We have also implemented various approaches how to calculate potential evapotranspiration. So in agriculture applications, they usually use this Penman-Monteith combination equation to calculate reference potential evapotranspiration. And as an input, one needs to have measured value of radiation, temperature, relative humidity, wind speed, and so on. But alternatively, also one can use this very simple equation, so-called Hargreaves equation, where as input, one needs only to have the surface coordinates of the location so that the model then can calculate the extraterrestrial radiation. And then one needs to have this temperature range between the mean daily, between the maximum and minimum daily temperatures. And on this slide, I show that one can actually make quite similar prediction using this very simple equation compared to the much more complex and process-based Penman-Monteith equation, while this is empirical equation. In Hydrus, we also have some options to approximate the changes of these different fluxes during the day using this relatively simple model. So what I have described so far is all implemented in Hydrus 1D, but now I will want to also discuss some additional options which we are currently implementing in 2D to account also for various two-dimensional the processes which depends on horizontal directions as well. So this slide shows the photos of hourly changes in shade patterns, which were taken in a vineyard from early morning to late afternoon. It's from the paper which was published by Delia Kuhl, and I think I've seen her here. Yeah, she's right there. And so it's from her water resources research paper. And you can see that these shade patterns change quite dramatically during the day, and that obviously has large effects on the surface temperatures, which is also from that paper, and then the evaporative fluxes during the day at a different location. And here you see the Hydrus approximation of that system. So to be able to describe these processes and how these temperature change and how the evaporation changes with time and location in this system. So we have implemented, when I was with Keith last summer, a couple of these additional options into Hydrus 2D. So we implemented coupled movement of water, vapor, and energy. Standard Hydrus code doesn't have this option. It simulates either water flow or heat transport, but not the coupled we implemented the surface energy balance at the surface, so at any point at the surface, we evaluate the surface energy balance. And then we can also take into account, the effects of different things such as slope inclination, slope azimuth, aspect, plant shading on global solar radiation, and we also implemented some very simple approaches to simulate root growth and how the spatial distribution changes with time. Okay, so this slide gives some details about how we take into account the effects of slope inclination and azimuth on solar radiation. So we calculate first the solar radiation at the air surface on a plane normal to sun, then we transform it to a horizontal plane at the Earth surface, and finally we transform it using these functions on slopes with certain inclination and with certain azimuth difference between that slope and the position of the sun. On this slide I show the example where we calculated this incoming radiation for one location with certain latitude for certain day and for slopes with different inclinations, 15, 13, 45 degrees, and for a slope with a different aspect, so different location with respect to the sun. And you can see how these different surfaces would receive radiation during the day. Then we also wanted to implement the plant shading or the effects of plants, such as in that vineyard. And you see that we went back to quite old literature, to Bob Horton. Is Bob here? I saw him and the meeting is here. So we use two different model plants. So this one is taken directly from that paper, right? But then we also use this simple one. And so we take into account the height and width of the plant, and then we calculate the total shade of the total length of the shade and length of the shade perpendicular to the rows and shades on the left side, right side of that, etc. You can see that there is a lot of these function, sinus, cosinus, and I was doing that in Australia, in the southern hemisphere, so I was all confused over all of these issues. So this shows the effects of the calculations of the length of the shadows, and so we simulate for certain locations, the same location with different azimuths. And then we calculate the total length, that's I think this line, the length of the shadow perpendicular to the row, which is this one, and then the shades on the east side and then west side of the plant, but that's for this type of a plant, so it has shadow also on both sides, yeah? Okay. And finally, so we can, if we are able to calculate the global incoming radiation on the surface, depending on the slopes, inclination, azimuth, etc. So we can calculate anywhere at the surface also the energy balance equation, and from that we can calculate the surface temperatures. And so in this slide I give example of the surface temperatures at different hours. So this one line, for example, would be a temperature at the surface here at certain time. So this is for a bare soil, but we obviously can also handle different surface membranes and plastic of different colors, which would then be distinguished by a different albedo, and we can calculate the surface energy for such systems, and Keith will be probably talking about that, yeah? So here you see these temperatures, how they change at 1 hour, along that surface, but then during the day also, right? Quite dramatic changes. And from that, we can then calculate the temperatures in the entire profile. And here again, I give two examples, one for west-east transect and south-north transect at different times. And obviously, knowing the temperature is important for many applications in agriculture, for seedling of the plants, etc. Okay, well, the things can get even more complicated if you consider freezing and thawing, and we have never really handled that very well in hydro, so I'll not go into that. Okay, that's pretty much all I have. You guys do much better job than we do, right? So that's all I have. Before I take the question, I have the announcement also. I want to invite you for the 5th HIDES conference, which will be held in Prague in March, at the end of March next year in the Czech Republic. So here you see the location. So it's one of the most beautiful, it's the most beautiful city in Europe, the magical Prague, yeah. You can see here the convener, so Rin will be there. That's probably the main draw, right? And then, but also the developers of these different modules of HIDES, so such as Diedrich Jacques, who works on that coupled module with the free tree, for example, for chemical modeling. Ginter Langegraber, he developed this wetland module, he will be there. And topics are basically anything you can do with HIDES. So. And do I still have time? I still have time. So I have one more. We have developed this year a dream suit. I'm sure that you all have heard of Dream, which is a software developed by Jasper Vrucht, right? And you need a MATLAB to use it. So the BC Progress, I have not actually been involved in that, but they developed the graphical package which can use a lot of these dream algorithms. And it's a general package, so it's not only with the HIDES. They provide something like 20 different examples with different models. And so you can do these parameter optimization things using the dream suit. Here are some outputs. You can calculate Pareto functions and all that stuff which dream does. Yeah? Okay, well, thank you for your attention.
So we have time for questions, Bob?
I'm checking my blood.
He's checking his pulse here. So
congratulate you and your co-authors. I enjoyed your presentation.
Thank you.
I like this addition very much to your model. So congratulations.
Okay.
I am curious about why you use the Van Gennepen function, the high power function. I think those are, in my thinking, set up very much with liquid water flow.
Sure.
And because of the residual water content, the mixture potential goes to negative infinity, right?
That's correct, yeah. Well, we have definitions of two. We define those two fluxes separately, right? And we certainly cannot go below the residual water content, even when we consider vapor flow.
Right.
Yeah. So we cannot go into infinity. We cannot go below the residual water content. Maybe we can't handle that anymore, yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? So I'd actually had a question, and that has to do with, and so you skipped over the second of your last slide, and that has to do with freeze-thaw phase change. And is there some plan in the future to try to do that, just given the really huge focus on permafrost and all the methane and gas fluxes that are coming out of this area of the world is super important. Seen that HIDES or maybe SHAW or some other types of models that maybe LinkedIn would be a really great addition
yeah.
to HIDES.
Yeah, when people come to me about this, I usually recommend SHAW.
Right.
I don't know if they should use SHAW. Because we tried to, we did implement that some more than 10 years ago. I had a student from Sweden, and with him we implemented that. But it works only for the unsaturated source. It doesn't work once you reach the saturation, it starts crashing, and we have never come back to it, tried to resolve it. Probably for the lack of our abilities or lack of time.
Right.
But I do recommend, just recently I had some Japanese visitors, and who came because they are using Hydra, so they wanted to use Hydra. And I just encouraged them to download Show, which they did, and they were very happy. So I give them the advertisement.